This is Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show, number 424 in the series. This session of the radio show shares the public hearing segment of the Planning Board meeting on Monday, December 21st, 2020. The meeting was conducted virtually via Zoom conference bridge to adhere to the social distancing requirements of this pandemic period. A quick recap. No surprise, the Planning Board's concerned about parking on the site. After initially objecting to a request for a waiver of the $1,500 site plan fee, the board did reconsider and vote to waive the fee. The food pantry is a 501c3 operation, operating only on grants and donations to provide support for its clients, mostly Franklin residents. More importantly, the site is contaminated from previous use as an auto dealer, and that complicates how to handle stormwater and snow removal on the site. In my two cents, it shouldn't be impossible, but will be complicated and possibly expensive. A residential abutter concerned about losing their green bush divider along the property line agreed to talk with the food pantry planners to work out an agreement. The recording runs just over an hour, so let's listen to the Planning Board discussion on the food pantry plans to move into the new building they purchased on 138 East Central Street.
Okay, I have an initial public hearing for 138 East Central Street, site plan. Is there a motion to waive the reading?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Through the chair, where I am a property owner directly across the street, where there may be a conflict, I will recuse myself from this meeting.
Let the record show that Joe has recused himself. Okay, is there anyone here for 138 East Central Street who would like to announce, make an announcement on this, or just a brief description on the project?
It's going to keep going back to those, unfortunately.
Yes, good evening, Mr. Chairman. Rick Goodrow with United Consultants. Here this evening on behalf of the Franklin Food Pantry, owner of the property at 138 East Central Street. Mr. Chairman and board members, if we may, some of the members of the Franklin Food Pantry would like to make a brief presentation, and then we can get into the site plan, if that would be acceptable to you, Mr. Chairman.
Sure. How many do we have?
There's quite a few members of the food pantry here. I believe Sue and Amy are going to take the lead on this.
Good. Please, as long as we don't have everyone repeating themselves, if we just have a few people taking the lead, it would be great.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Rick, I'm actually going to turn it over to Lynn Colling, our executive director. She's going to kick us off. Thank you.
All right. Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Sue. Thank you, Rick. Thank you, everyone. Would it be possible for me to share my screen for a quick presentation?
Amy?
Yeah. So you're looking just to be able to present your screen?
Yes.
Okay. One second.
Thank you, Amy.
You are like... Okay, you should be all set.
Perfect, thank you. All right, thank you everyone. My name is Lynn Colling. I'm the executive director at the Franklin Food Pantry. Thank you for having us tonight. Here we go. Can folks see that? Great, okay. So just a little bit about the Franklin Food Pantry. Our mission is to alleviate food insecurity and compassionately empower our community through resources and collaboration. And our vision is that the Franklin Food Pantry will build a community in which everyone in need has an improved quality of life through nutritious food and supportive resources. So let me tell you a little bit about us. Between June 2019 and July 2020, We provided nearly 288,000 pounds of food to our neighbors. We provide healthy food like fresh produce, frozen proteins, and shelf-stable items. We currently receive no state or town funding, and we're a 501c3 nonprofit organization. We are essential to Franklin. We provide a weekly food distribution, which is now in a drive-up operation since mid-March when COVID-19 hit. We also provide holiday meals. We just had a holiday meal distribution today. So many of the board and staff members were at the pantry from 2 till 5:30 distributing holiday meals. We also deliver to folks who are unable to get to the pantry. And we also work in collaboration with the school system to provide weekend backpacks for children. And why do we need a new building? So we have outgrown our space. We're very tight in there. In addition to providing food, we need a space to share resources and offer additional support to our neighbors. We would like to store our food in a safer environment, and we simply want to serve our neighbors better. And here are some pictures of the space at 138 East Central now, and here is what we envision will be. And that's all. Thank you so much, Amy, for letting me share my screen, and thank you folks for letting me share a little bit about the Franklin Food Pantry with you. I'll turn it back over to Rick.
Thank you, Lynn. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to take this opportunity to talk the board through the site plan that's been prepared for this site. As you know, the site is located at 138 East Central Street. It's located with the rear of the property having access off of Cross Street. Amy, would it be possible for either you to bring up the site plan, or if I could share my screen and I'd have access to the site plan?
Yeah, I can give you sharing permission.
Thank you.
Okay, you should be all set.
Can everyone see that?
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, very good, thank you. So this is the locust plan that shows the location of the site, located off of East Central Street, just to the southwest of Milliken Ave, with access also being located off of Cross Street. Site currently consists of a 5,496 square foot building footprint, located on a 16,800 square foot lot, with the majority of the property currently being paved. Access being from a single driveway location off of East Central Street and a really not defined entrance coming in off of Cross Street. So the proposal is to reconfigure the site to provide for some vehicle parking, vehicle access, and pedestrian access on the site. As anyone who's been by the site, I'm sure, is aware, the site is somewhat constrained. It's a relatively small site with a fairly well-sized building, not much additional space located on the site. Site was previously owned with the property to the west, providing for additional parking. That property to the west is not part of this application and is not owned by the Franklin Food Pantry. Only the parcel A that's being shown here is in fact owned by the food pantry. So that's provided us with the canvas in which we've laid out this proposed site plan, which includes an access to the northwest corner of the site off of East Central Street. That access way would be a one-way entrance in for the public and people entering into the site. They would have the ability to park in the six parking spaces which are located between the building and East Central Street. Those parking spaces are set at a 60-degree angle, and those parking spaces are 9 feet wide and 17 and a half feet from the proposed sidewalk to the tip of the parking spaces. And then there's a little over a 16-foot travel way, which is a one-way travel way to provide access into those parking spaces. The vehicles entering the site could then traverse around and head to the south along the easterly side of the building. There are three additional parking spaces in that location. Space number 7 is a handicap space. Spaces 8 and 9 are typical parking spaces. Again, the access aisle for that area is 15.8 feet, and the spaces themselves are about 14.7 feet deep on the angle at which the vehicles would be parked. The people entering the site in that area would then be able to traverse to the south and exit out on a one-way driveway to Cross Street. We've also provided 3 parking spaces, spaces 10, 11, and 12 at the southwest corner of the site. Those parking spaces are conventional 90-degree parking spaces, 9 by 19 feet in size with a 24-foot aisle width behind them. I would like to note that space number 10 is located within 10 feet of the street right away, and a waiver request will be presented to the board to allow for that, as suggested by Beta. Additionally, a dumpster is located in that area. A location is depicted as the D just to the north of space number 12. And then just around the corner of the building in that little alcove is space number 13. That space would be utilized by the Franklin Food Pantry as an overhead door would be proposed at the end of that space to provide for offloading of the food pantry truck when they receive their deliveries. What we've proposed, and I'd like to walk through it because there seems to be some concern with respect to the possibility of vehicles backing out onto Cross Street. So the food pantry has control over space 13 for their truck to be parked, as well as the loading and unloading of the truck. When the trash pickup would be scheduled, the food pantry would have the ability to move the truck out of space number 13 into spaces 10, 11, or 12. The waste receptacle truck could traverse into the site, pick up the dumpster, empty the dumpster, back up, and then traverse down through space number 13 along the westerly side of the building, and then exit out onto East Central Street to continue. The opposite of that would be when the food pantry truck wanted to enter the site, they could come in off of East Central Street, traverse southerly down the westerly side of the building, and then pull forward up to the side of the trash receptacle dumpster area, and then back into their space. And then when they want to exit the site, they could do so by heading southerly and then come out to the Cross Street intersection and exit the site in that location. While we agree that this is not the most ideal of circumstances, we are certainly constrained by the site, and we feel that the food pantry would have the ability to coordinate the location of their truck being parked at the times when the waste pickups will be scheduled. Additionally, we've provided for pedestrian access through the site. There'll be a striped crosswalk from the sidewalk on East Central Street where pedestrians will be able to access the site from that point. On the northerly side of the building, we're proposing an at-grade concrete pedestrian walkway. The reason that and some of the other areas are at grade is because the clientele of the Franklin Food Pantry, excuse me, will be utilizing carriages in some sometimes to carry the products from the food pantry to their vehicles. And it was important for the food pantry to have the ability for them to exit from those walkway areas directly to their vehicles and not have a curb at those locations. So there is not any curbing proposed in front of spaces 1 through 6. And then as the walkway traverses around the corner, we have the exit area for the handicap vehicle space. That will also be the walkway flush with the asphalt paving. And then as we transition to the south, in the front of space number 7 begins the concrete, vertical concrete curbing that's being proposed, which carries all the way out to Cross Street. Additionally, spaces 10, 11, and 12 are proposed to be at grade with no curbing proposed. We do realize, as Beta has pointed out, that curbing is a requirement of the site plan requirements when parking spaces or when the access is within 10 feet of the street right-of-way. Again, we would request that there be a waiver for a requirement to provide curbing at space 10. there are some other site features, such as bike parking and donation bins, that I will allow the project architect, Rob Marcolo from Cuthran Area Architects, to talk about after I've completed my presentation. I'd like to move on to the site grading and utilities. And planting. So when we were developing this plan, we had some meetings with the town's technical review staff and departments. We also had an opportunity to have some discussions with the town engineer and Beta with respect to a stormwater system for this site. And what we looked at doing was providing a stormwater system that would be consistent with some other projects that we've worked on in the area, particularly the Franklin Ford project. And on that project, we had removed a section of parking lot and installed an addition, constructed an addition, and we had taken the roof stormwater from that proposed addition and provided for a recharge system for a 2-year storm event. So we looked at the same approach when we were developing the site plan for this project. However, we were certainly aware that there is an activity and use limitation for the property located to the east of us, which would be the gas station located at the corner of Cross and East Central Street. And as we were working through the development of the project and into the review process, Beta had determined through their LSP's investigation of the site that this particular site was in fact also party to an activity and use limitation. So while it's certainly a possibility to provide a stormwater system on the site, any excavation of a depth greater than 4 feet would be at the purview of a licensed site professional providing for oversight and soil removal from any work that's being proposed within that depth of greater than 4 feet on the site. So we were very we really wanted to make sure that we addressed the stormwater for the board. We were very concerned about that. However, in light of this activity and use limitation, and as I'm sure the board will see in the review comments from Beta, it appears that it may not be the best option to provide for stormwater recharge system on this site. due not only to the activity and use limitation on this site, but also the down gradient site having an activity and use limitation. And the down gradient site is at the outer edge of a water resource district to the town of Franklin. So we've shown that we could in fact provide a stormwater system. However, some of the site conditions may suggest that it may not be the best option for this site. I think Beta has indicated to the board through a regulatory standpoint that the board seems to have the ability to not necessarily require a stormwater system on this site. The site is not within jurisdictional areas of a wetland, therefore not subject to the state stormwater standards as promulgated by the Department of Environmental Protection. Additionally, the site is just over 16,000, almost 17,000 square feet. So we do not have site work in excess of 1 acre being proposed at the site. So we certainly hope to get some input from the board this evening with respect to the stormwater system as proposed and as possibly being either revised or eliminated in its entirety. Additionally, we have provided the board with a photometric plan. Beta has commented on that. There was one concern with respect to one area, and that would be to the property to the southwest, opposite spaces 10, 11, and 12. And that is that there's some existing vegetation that we're proposing to remove. And our original proposal was to install a 4-foot fence to provide screening. That fence would be constructed of a chain link material with privacy slats. Beta has suggested it may be more appropriate to increase the height of that fence to 6 feet. Certainly welcome any input from the board. And we will, once that has been discussed, we will circle back to the lighting consultant to look at the impacts of that fencing with respect to the waiver request for light spillage in that area. I will note that there is some light spillage proposed on some of the other properties. That doesn't seem to be as much of an issue as they are not residential in nature. So that concludes the presentation of the site civil. I'd certainly be welcome any questions that the board and the public may have. We would like to have Mr. Marcolo from Kuthraneri make a brief presentation of the building aesthetics and some of the site features. And he will be able to talk a little bit more about the vegetation proposed for the site as well. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Rick. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. I want to thank you for your time this evening. Amy, I'm wondering if there's any chance I might give a quick presentation, just bring up 3 slides.
Sure.
Amy?
Yes. Would that be all right, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. Okay. You should be all set, Rob.
Great. Thank you, Amy. Okay. So my name is Rob Marcolo, and I'm here on behalf of Kuthraneri Architects, and we are working with the Franklin Food Pantry on their new facility at 138 East Central Street. And I'm here to discuss the design aspirations for the building as well as the landscape. So the existing building has been out of use for at least 20 years. It was formerly a car dealership, and with the food pantry, we have established a new vision for the building that we think it revives this underused property and improves the capacity of the Franklin Food Pantry, which is certainly an important resource of the community of Franklin. So here's a view from East Central Street looking towards that same building. So the basic footprint of the building is unchanged. We are giving the building a refresh with some new exterior finishes, covered entries, landscaping, as well as safer pedestrian pathways around the building itself and throughout the site. Pedestrian access to this facility is key. As Rick mentioned, we provide an accessible route from the street across the parking area and along the building to the two entries on the east side. So we've located the client entry, which you can see here to the left of this image, and facilities in the rear addition of the building to provide a more discreet entrance while at the same time still addressing the street at East Central and providing a front facade to the building. The food pantry offices will be located on the East Central side of the building, so that's over on this right side, and with an entrance along the east side that would be here right in the center of this image. And we wanted to ensure that the client entry is in fact the primary entry so that clients feel the dignity of entering the building's front door. A purple canopy and wall that matches the color of the food pantry's logo and branding will draw visitors and clients along the edge of the building and towards those two entries along that side. And we are also providing a donation bin, seen here in this image, as a location for visitors to contribute food and goods. We're also providing a bike rack to encourage alternative modes of healthy transport to the site for visitors and clients. And additionally, we've provided aisles accessing all of the parking areas in order to provide areas, as Rick mentioned, for shopping carts. For clients to transport their goods to their vehicles. And in terms of the landscaping, we are developing a concept that utilizes an edible landscape, which at the same in the same stroke is bringing forth the idea of providing sustenance to the community. As well as literally providing it through the resources that the food pantry does provide. So we believe that this update to the building is going to allow the food pantry to better serve its clientele in its capacity as a food distribution center, but also, as Lynn mentioned, as a community resource for Franklin residents in need of help. And so I thank you for your time, and then we would welcome any comments or questions from the board and the community. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, this is William Martin. May I ask a question at this point in time?
Yes, you may.
My wife and I, we live at 33 Cross Street, so we are abutting property in question. And we have some concerns. We appreciate the mission of the Franklin Food Pantry and support that. We have some concerns about the plan to remove the evergreen trees that exist, straddle the property line, as I understand it there.
We don't want our trees cut down. We don't want a fence. We want our trees to stay up. They are on our property. And ours is the first residential property. First there's the gas station, now there'll be the Franklin Food Pantry. And those trees provide privacy and a residential feel to our property, and we don't want them cut down. So it says to be removed, but those trees are on our property, so we would not like them removed. They provide privacy for us, and they're on our property.
Okay, could I just put you on hold for possibly another 15-20 minutes, and then I'll get back to you, Mr. Martin.
Yes.
Thank you. All right, Amy, you have a December 17th memo?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. They actually pretty much gave an overview of the project itself. I there is no conservation jurisdiction on the site. However, they did reach out to the agent on some plantings that the agent did respond. I included in the packet just some recommendations on certain tree plantings. The deputy fire chief did not show any concerns with the plan has submitted as well. I do want to mention that the applicant had requested the application fee be waived. That fee is $1,500, and the board should make a determination if they would like to waive that fee.
Members of the board, this is a regular site plan application. I don't see a reason to waive it, but. Let's decide on that later. All right, Mike Maglio, Town of Franklin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We reviewed the plans in the submittal and just had a couple of comments. I'll go over them briefly. Most notably was the, whereas this is a redevelopment project, the applicant was proposing a net decrease in impervious area for the site, as well as infiltrating some of the existing roof runoff in order to meet the stormwater standards. We agree with this type of approach. We've used it in the past in certain redevelopment projects like this. Just to touch on Rick's point that he mentioned, it was brought to my attention that there is a use limitation due to the gas station next door. I just like to look at that a little bit more if something's going to be done with the drainage system as far as any potential issues with that use limitation. I know Beta had looked at that. I just like to look at it a little bit more with them, provide some more comments later at a later point for that. Okay, I'd be concerned if there's any contamination in the soils that we're trying to infiltrate through, if that's an issue or not.
Right. I think I read on the front page here that they were at 96% impervious. Presently,
I believe it's close to that. Rick might be able to speak specific to that, but I know there it's a net reduction based with the islands and some of the landscaping they're adding. So it's a net reduction on site of the impervious area without the recharge. And I also had just two other quick comments. One had to do with the parking layout. For parking space number one was right at the entrance, one of the entrances off of East Central Street. And I was a little concerned with the layout of that one. Anyone in that parking spot needing to back out would be backing out into the area where a car could be coming in off of East Central Street. I'm not sure how important it is to meet the full 13 spaces as required on the site, but I think that's just something that may be considered if there was a possible to get a waiver for a reduction of one parking spot, that might be a good place to lose one. And then in the area between the gas station and the front of the site along East Central Street, there's about a 30-foot section of vertical curb. And it looked like it was just a curb line that was being added there. I was a little bit concerned about the traffic flow through there. Right now, it's all paved. I don't know if it might become a hazard for between plows or just cars coming in and out of there. But it looks like they might have some landscape there. I just wasn't clear of how much of a landscape island they could actually fit that close to the property line.
Okay.
That was the extent of my comments.
All right, great. November 24th from Jennifer Gilmore, Delmore, conservation agent. The Chairman of the Conservation Commission has approved the use of the following species of in landscaping. Was this a vote of the Conservation Commission or a vote of just the Chairman?
No, they aren't required to go to the Conservation Commission. This is just a letter from the agent suggesting on the plants.
Okay, suggesting. Okay. Great. All right. Before I ask some questions, is there anyone from the board that wants to ask some questions, or should I ask some questions first?
Through the chair, I have a few questions.
Sure.
Questions, comments, concerns. I was also concerned about space number one, like as Mike mentioned. I was also just wondering or am generally concerned about the depth of the van accessible parking space. You're showing it at, you know, 14 and a half feet or so, and it's right on the corner where all the cars are turning up to continue through the site. And it just feels like a potentially, you know, a hazardous situation, pedestrian safety concern, giving enough space as well to the actual vehicle, the van itself, and people with assistance getting in and out of the vehicle. It just seems like a really tight corner and space for the van accessible spot. So that's one concern I had. Also related to parking spaces, particularly space 12, it doesn't seem like there are any bollards up in that area, and yet it's very close to a pedestrian path and also the building. So I'm wondering if there should be any additional protection from vehicles in that area. And then just overall, it feels like there are a lot of entries and exits on the site and crossing where there's just a lot of traffic and parking and vehicles pulling in and out. Granted, I know it's a very tight site and you're trying to fit a lot in here, which I can appreciate. I think it's great that the Franklin Food Pantry's moving here. Aside from parking, in terms of the building itself, and I know this will go in front of the Design Review Commission at some point, but in terms of being in the character of the town of Franklin, and there's obviously a lot of different buildings in terms of context around this site and what's on either side of it, from residential to commercial to gas station to what's across the street. And so it's not necessarily trying to fit with anything in particular, but while the modern architecture is great, I think, and it's a huge improvement for the food pantry and the site and the building, I'm wondering about the color choice. I do love the canopy and the entry. I think in terms of safety, it's helpful to be able to identify the front door even from the street for pedestrian and even bicycle traffic. So I think that's great. And overall, this could be beneficial to the food pantry. So thank you. And that's all I have for comments so far.
Thank you, John. Anybody else before I comment?
Hi. Through the chair, I just have a couple quick comments, if I could.
Sure.
First is the parking. I believe I read in Beta's comment, approximately 5 spaces are on the abutting property. I think this hear about that. Snow storage, I don't see anything for snow storage, which is always an issue with us trying to keep these sites free and clear for the public. And I get questions about the dumpster location. I haven't seen a rear load dumpster in a long time. They're all front loads. So he's going to have to pull in off a cross street to hit the front of that dumpster site. Internally, with this whole parking situation, you got an awful lot going on at a very small site.
Okay, anybody else before I comment?
Yeah, through the chair.
Yes.
Just a quick question. Maybe the applicant can answer this. How many people on average, or how many people that have driven in with a vehicle would be occupying the pantry, food pantry at any given time? Can she answer that?
Would Lynn Calling like to answer that question?
Lynn, would you like to answer that?
You're on mute.
Sorry about that. Good evening. So right now we're doing a drive-through operation, and we have posted hours when folks can come through. So between our 4-hour shifts that we have twice a week, we see anywhere from 35 to 80 people on a busy day. When we have folks coming in to the pantry, which we hope to get back to, we schedule appointments, and we schedule those based on the the day of the week, and again, the posted hours for the pantry.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. All right, Willie?
I'm good. My questions and concerns were already answered. The snow is one. Actually, one other question. I guess this could be to Rick. Coming in off East Central Street, you have the one way. So the traffic would go left heading toward Cross. Have that entrance slash exit that says do not enter. What, I'm a little confused with that. What's the purpose of that?
So the do not enter sign would be somebody who would enter the site from the driveway closest to the Shell gas station. We do not want them to enter the site and take an immediate right to go down in front of spaces 1 through 6.
Okay.
So that do not enter sign would prevent somebody from doing that.
Can traffic enter from East Central Street there too, or no?
Traffic can enter from East Central Street and head due south towards Cross Street, but not. Okay. The do not enter sign is to prevent somebody from entering and taking a right.
And the other property, okay.
With respect to the snow storage, if I may, landscape and snow storage removal notes on sheet 4. Number 3 states that the excess snow is to be removed from the site and disposed of in accordance with all town and state regulations. We certainly recognize the tightness of the site, and there is not considerable amount of area for snow storage. Smaller snowstorm events, we feel that they'd be able to utilize some of the landscape areas for minimal amounts of snow storage. But we do have provisions to remove the snow from the site. Thank you.
I'm all set, Tony.
Can I ask one question after that, Tony?
Sure.
This being, quote-unquote, a tainted site, have test borings been done? And will we have to worry about the snow being taken off site if it could be potentially contaminated?
Okay, so that's a question that Rick can answer later. Or do you want him to answer that now?
No, I just want to bring it up because I knew what was there for years and years. That's why I'm bringing it up.
All right. Okay, are we all set?
Yep. Thank you.
Okay. All right, just for a brief history, for the people who don't know and aren't antiques like me, this site was Dante Motors. It was a Chrysler Dodge dealership way back when. And I believe the site is a contaminated site because I believe many people have looked at the site to purchase it and knew the trials and tribulations of getting a site plan for this. And so we kind of steered away. And I believe that Rick brought up the fact at the beginning of the meeting that this particular site had the ability to use the lot right next to it and the parking area right next to it, which if anybody's gone by there or looked at the site, they know that all the drainage, most 90% of the water, went down off to the right-hand side of the building behind the apartment complexes and those houses and settled in the bottom, and it would just flood out there in back of those houses. This was before we had drainage or stormwater recharge, et cetera, et cetera. And now we don't have that, and our bylaws say that stormwater recharge will stay on site, will be taken care of on site. I would have liked to have seen where this is coming in for its original, a first site plan after 20 years of use, that at least it came in with a conforming site plan before any waivers were asked for or was kind of piecemealed. So we could see exactly where we were and how many waivers we had to go for before we went through this site plan. I have a few questions about the site plan the way it is. and my questions, I may be wrong, I may be right, but where this abuts a residential property, not that it's zoned residential, the front piece of property, parcel 286 is zoned commercial one, but it's the use has been and always has been multifamily residential. So that's a residential piece of property. And I believe that the bylaws state that there'll be a space 4 foot wide of screen residential property and commercial property. And the same for the Martins, who have already spoken. I will get back to them, I promise them. The other concern I had, which was mentioned, would be parking space 10. You do have the 24 feet in the back of the parking space, and then they're typically 9 feet wide. I think David Willie mentioned that, or Greg mentioned that all these dumpsters are front loaders now, 90% of them, 95% of them, unless they're privately owned and they're not big companies. So they have to pull in, pick up the dumpster and back out. And this one will be backing out on Cross Street, the way that this is set up. The other question I have is parking space 7, 8, and 9, especially the handicap. Now these are 9 foot wide and they're marked to 9 foot wide. And I believe the 18 feet long, from 18 feet long to the boundary line, which that road is marked to one way and exit. I don't believe that they're all consistent. Angle parking, as stated in our bylaws, is what it takes to come out of that angle parking space with your car in one motion. So if it can be done in 15 feet or 14.7 feet, I believe that these handicapped vans are kind of long. And that's where you're kind of at odds with space between, if you had an 18-foot van there and you were backing out, try to make that in one motion, I believe you're going to be backing onto the gas station property or going over that curb. So to be able to do it in one motion, I don't know. And the other question I have is when the cars are parked in those parking spaces, if they're not right up to the building or right up to those curbs, those curb stops, then I don't believe that the cars can get behind them if they want to use that right of way, that exit. The other question I have is, Mike mentioned parking lot one that is on East Central Street. That parking spot does back into the one way, and it says one way entrance way, not two way, which is 12 foot wide. So that would have to be removed. And I don't believe by scale that those parking spaces are 9 foot wide. And if they're 18 feet long, then I don't believe that you can turn in one motion and not pull on the sidewalk or not back onto the sidewalk. And I don't believe you have room for screening between the sidewalk and the parking area at all. Like I said, between the Martins property, you show a proposed 4 foot high chain link fence with privacy slats, but I believe that's the law states a 4 foot wide screening all the way down that property line. And I believe it's required all the way to Main Street from the other residential property. So you're going to be stopping that water that's naturally running off that parking lot now from going into that other lot area by putting up curbing. I believe it's kind of a challenge to get this site onto this property. I just don't know how we're going to do it safely. I appreciate the renderings. The renderings look beautiful, but in scale, if you're looking at the renderings are obviously not to scale. The parking lot looks huge when you're looking at the renderings, and the parking areas look huge, and the cars look small. So to look at the rendering, you would think that the site was three times as big. With that said, and I know, Rick, you know that there's going to be a little bit of work here. So this is just the first meeting, and you're looking for feelings of the board. We will go to Beta. Is Beta here tonight?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I believe Mr. Goudreau, in his initial talk, he brought up a number of the issues. The board members have also hit on most of the concerns that Beta had. I think in general, through our comments, it really came down, our biggest concern was the overall function of the site as it relates to parking and vehicles being able to maneuver. So given that they're requesting waivers to the dimensions of the parking, we want them to be able to demonstrate through depicting typical vehicles in the stalls and also showing turning movements throughout the site to show that everything can get through without encroaching or over the property lines or causing safety issues. We noted they have a couple other waivers that they probably need to request, including parking within 10 feet of the street line. We noted that they're showing spillage over the property line for lighting onto the residential areas. And we had also noted the existing contamination, petroleum contamination on the site that's been there historically, along with the proximity of the town's zone 2 wellhead protection. So we didn't feel comfortable with infiltration unless an LSP says that that won't contribute to groundwater contamination. So that's primarily it for us.
Okay. I think the other thing I mentioned was, I forgot to mention, was stormwater recharge, the curbing, dumpster. At least trying to have a conforming site before we ask for waiver, a list of waivers. The possibility of expanding the site to or acquiring some of that parking area that's with that residential complex. Too bad somebody didn't look into that. I said I would go back to the Martins. If the Martins wish to speak again, please.
We're here.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, you mentioned our concern there is to maintain the privacy and residential nature of our property. In fact, we don't believe that the trees that are proposed to be removed are, at least some of them, are on our side of the property line, we believe.
We had a survey done in the summertime when we saw this was going to be happening because we wanted to have a clear idea of where the property lines are. And so you can see those things are in the ground with tags on them. It's very clear where our property line starts and where the corners are and things. And we know that the cedar trees that line our property were built or were planted by the former owners of our home. And we know that they're on our line. So we don't want the cedar trees cut down. We don't want a chain link fence dividing our property from a very residential or very business property. Ours begins the residential part of the street, and that's the only thing that makes it look residential right now are the trees. So.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, if I may?
Yes, I was just going to call on you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think it would be a good idea if myself and maybe some of the people from the food pantry could meet with the Martins on site to go over the site plan and to look at this situation and see if we can come up with a resolution.
That would be a great idea. In fact, I think with an extra 4 feet, which is supposed to be required for screening, I believe that we can keep those trees.
So we're happy to meet with folks from the food or the planning folks. Happy to do that.
Well, Rick is going to make contact with you and your wife, and go over the property.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I will certainly do that.
Okay, and I know that we're going to continue this this meeting, but you've heard the concerns of the board, the snow removal concerns, if we can keep the snow on site or have some place for storage, curbing, separation of the site, and see what we can do to keep the stormwater on site from draining off. Like I say, I don't know the finances, and that's not the board's concern. The board's concern is infrastructure. So public safety and infrastructure, if we could keep that. So with that said, when would you like to be back on? Our next meeting is January 11th.
Mr. Chairman, the meeting following that, if that would be the 25th, certainly we've got some work to do to address the board, meeting with the abutters, and I'm sure your submission deadline for the 11th meeting is coming shortly.
Hi, this is Sean. I'm living across the street, 24 Cross Street, right behind the building.
Yes, sir.
So I don't have much concern about that. I think about this business, the plan and the planning of this, the site planning. So one question is, this with regard to this business, do we have a lot of smell or, you know, odor from this business? I don't understand much about this business.
Quick question to Rick. Is there going to be any on-site cooking, food preparation?
No, we don't do any food preparation. We just hand out shelf-stable, frozen, and fresh produce, but we don't do any cooking.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thanks for confirming that. Another question is about dumpster. So right now, I have a dumpster coming from a Walgreens site. It's coming at 5 o'clock in the morning. So there's another dumpster from gas station, and then another dumpster across the street, the further away from Main Street, other side of Main Street. So I'm wondering, on this business, is there a heavy waste to be hauled away, and what is schedule? Is that a
If you have a dumpster pickup being picked up at 5 o'clock in the morning or earlier, I would suggest that you call the building commissioner, because I don't believe pickup is supposed to start until 7.
That's good to know. Yeah. So I called a Walgreens a few times. Just a, you know, they pick up right in front of my bedroom. It's just like a cannon when it went off every Wednesday morning.
I can confirm Mr. Yang's statement there about the very, very early morning dumpster pickup out of Walgreens.
Well, that's not supposed to be. So I'm sure that if you contact the building commissioner, that will stop.
Okay, thanks. So building commissioner in town hall, right? In our town hall office, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Great.
You're looking for Gus Brown.
Oh, okay, thanks.
Mr. Gus Brown.
Got you. Thanks.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
If I can make a comment, my name is Jim Roach, and I'm currently the treasurer on the board of the Franklin Food Pantry. And I just wanted to clarify at the beginning of the hearing, we were talking about a fee waiver. I just wanted to clarify the reasoning for us requesting a fee waiver. I'm sure it's clear in the paperwork, but we are a 501c3 charitable organization. And so certainly, I believe right at present, I want to say it's 78 to 80% of our funds raised go directly towards serving the clientele. And additionally, we do quite a few programs jointly with the towns, such as supplying the weekend backpack program through the schools. And all of that is from funds that we raise directly ourselves privately, and no support from the town, as we are not a town department, nor any of our funds raised provided by the towns. So that's kind of the backstory for our request for the waiver of the fees related to this project.
Can I ask you a question?
Certainly.
Do you only serve Franklin?
At present, I believe we have some grandfathered folks that we do still serve. In the pandemic environment, we don't turn away anybody. So we do have the drive-through. It's not our usual operation. But so through the drive-through, we serve anybody that comes through. We don't turn anybody away. Additionally, we also have some emergency food supplies where if there's somebody nearby where a house burns down or whatnot, again, that's not not town specific. But I would say that the majority of our clientele are Franklin residents. Yes.
Thank you. Members of the board, would you like to vote on the waiver to waive the fees?
I just have a quick comment, if that's okay.
Sure.
I'm very familiar with the food pantry. I volunteered there here and there. And we do some stuff with the Franklin Rotary to support the food pantry as well. But so my take is $1,500 doesn't seem like a lot of money, especially when the town is struggling to meet some budgetary constraints. But I think I would be in favor of waiving it because of the you know, that's $1,500 that can't go to help another family or group of families. Or I don't know what the average service amount of money is for each pickup, but especially in this time that's going on, everything going on with the pandemic. So it's my two cents.
No, I agree.
I'm behind Rick as well.
I can go along with that. Can I ask one other quick question through the chair?
Sure.
The gentleman, Jim Roach, mentioned it again about drive-through, and I think Lynn mentioned it earlier also. Drive-through, is it meaning that the clients come, they drive through the property to get the groceries? Is that, and am I understanding that right, or is there actually a drive-through?
No, you're correct. So it's a pandemic adjustment. So what our usual setup is we actually have shopping set up, and once a month clients can come in and shop from the shelves, which is a little different than most food pantries where you are just handed a bag of food and hope you like it. So with the pandemic, obviously we're limiting people inside the building. We're a very tight space right there. So it is people drive up to the building. We walk out with a bag of fresh shelf stable food. And then we ask them what their choice of protein is, and somebody will get that out of the freezer and again hand that through the window, or we put it in the trunk of the car. But it's a pandemic only adaptation.
So you call that drive through in your own termination? Okay, I just
drive up is probably a better term for that, but
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, bye. Thanks. Because it was getting a little confusing that you keep saying drive through. It's like, where is?
We're not looking for a window. No,
yeah. Okay. It's more like pickup.
Right. No, there right. There won't be a VIC here.
Right.
Okay. So, yes, let's take a vote on waiving the fee, please. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you, gentlemen. Is there a motion to continue this until January 25th?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, board members.
Thank you.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio, WFPR-FM. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening.
For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana. Copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. You can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.